I definitely feel that I'm at the right place at the right time. I can't imagine more beautiful deities on a more auspicious occasion, and so many beautiful devotees as well. So to begin, we'll recite two verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 5. The glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Text 208. But first we'll sing the invocation. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So text 208. Preme Matya Nityananda Kripa Avatara. Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara. Prema Matya Nityananda Kripa Avatara. Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara. Preme. In ecstatic love. Mata. Mad. Nityananda. Lord Nityananda. Kripa, merciful, avatara, incarnation, uttama, good, adama, bad, kichu, any, na, not, kare, makes, vichara, consideration. Translation. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. Please repeat. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. Text 209. Ye age padaye tare kare nistara. Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara. Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara. ye age padaya tare kare nistara. Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara. Ye age padaye tare kareye nistara. Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara. Yea, whoever age in front padaye falls down tare unto him karaye does nistara deliverance. Ata eva. Therefore. Nistarila. Delivered. Mo. As me. Ena. Such. Durachar. Sinful and fallen person. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. I'll repeat. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. So these two verses describe the merciful nature of Lord Nityananda and the qualification for receiving his mercy. Lord Nityananda is Kripa Avatar. He's an incarnation of mercy. No one is more merciful than Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, for those of us who want mercy and need mercy, which is all of us, he is the proper person and the best person to approach for mercy. And how do we get that mercy? We have to fall down before him. Ye age padaye. So it's very simple. And Uttama Udama Kichuna Kare Vichara. He doesn't distinguish between good or bad. All of us are generally a mixture of good and bad. And but even if we're more good than bad, it's not a problem. And even if we're more bad than good, it's also not a problem. Nothing's a problem. We just have to fall down before Nityananda Prabhu, which means we have to be humble. That's really the only qualification. When Prahlad Maharaj, and I assume that pretty much everyone knows the background of the history of Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj was the son of a great demon named Hiranyakasipu. And Hiranyakasipu was, you know, so powerful that he had pretty much subdued any opposition, including big demigods. But there was one person he could not subdue, and that was his son Prahlad, who at the time of this account was 5 years old. Do we have anyone in the audience who's 5 years old? How old are you? 9? Can you stand up so everyone can see what a 9-year-old looks like? So Prahlad was 5, about half of that age. Okay, thank you. You did that very well. So yes, he was 5 years old, but he was a devotee of Krishna or Vishnu. And his father could not understand how it was possible, because from the very beginning, his father made sure that he was taught in the materialistic way of life, including friends and enemies. It's a very basic principle of material existence, friends and enemies, and how to rule. And Hiranyakasipu, he considered Vishnu to be his enemy. Now, yesterday was also a holy day. Do you know what the holy day was yesterday? Yes, Varaha Dvadasi, the appearance day of Lord Varaha. And Lord Varaha killed Hiranyakasipu's brother, Hiranyaksha. And so Hiranyakasipu felt that Vishnu, he understood that Varaha Dev was an incarnation of Vishnu, that Vishnu was his enemy. And so Prahlad, although he was trained to be like his father, he ended up being a devotee of Vishnu. So when this fact was revealed, Hiranyakasipu summoned the boy's teachers, and he accused them that you are polluting this boy's consciousness. They said, no, we're not. They said, well, then you're allowing Vaishnavas in disguise to enter. Like sometimes our book distributors, not that they assume disguises, but they don't dress in our regular Vaishnava attire. So Hiranyakasipu was speculating maybe some Vaishnavas have entered in disguise. He said, no. So then he said, well, then how did he become a devotee? And they said, well, we don't know. You better ask him. So he asked Prahlad, And Prahlad replied, Matirna Krishne Parato Svatova. That means that one's inclination towards Krishna cannot be aroused by one's own efforts or by the efforts of others. Or by big assemblies, by a combination of one's own efforts and the efforts of others. Now, if you analyze this answer, it seems to exclude every logical alternative. How can you become Krishna conscious if not by your efforts or by the efforts of others or by the combined efforts of yourself and others? And then Prahlad answered the question, Naishamatistavad urukramangrim sprishart janartha pagamo yadartha Mahiyashan padad rajobi shekam iskinchananam navranita yavat. And he says that one can only become Krishna conscious by padad rajobi shekam, by bathing oneself in the dust of the feet of a pure devotee, iskinchananam, who has no material attachments. And there is no other way. And Srila Prabhupada explains that indirectly Prahlad was saying that you have asked how I became Krishna conscious, and this is how. But you don't have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious, because you will never bow down to the lotus feet of a pure devotee, because you're too proud. So you have nothing to worry about. You won't become Krishna conscious. So this is the real essence of how to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the mercy of Lord Nityananda's devotees, representatives, and that is to be humble and bow down before them. There was a popular singer named Boy George who composed a song called Bow Down Mister. Boy George had association with devotees, and he went to our temple in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple. And from his association with devotees of ISKCON, he saw devotees would always bow down in front of the deities. But in Vrindavan, he was surprised to see that many of the pilgrims or tourists would come into the temple before the deities, but they wouldn't bow down. So he wrote this song, Bow Down, Mister. You should bow down. You have to be humble. That's the only way to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. He doesn't distinguish if you're good or bad. But just bow down. And our Srila Prabhupada also had that same quality of not distinguishing who was fit and who was unfit to receive Krishna consciousness. He wanted to give everyone a chance. One small example from Juhu, Bombay. One sort of youngish Indian man came. He might have even been a PhD student, or anyway, he came and he wanted to join. And many of the devotees were quite doubtful about him. And one of the senior devotees said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, we shouldn't let him in. You know, he's not a fit candidate. He's not a good person. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, we'll let him stay with us. And, you know, after some time there was some difficulty with that person, and he left. And then that senior devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I could see, you know, I could see. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's all right. But I wanted to give him a chance. So that is our duty as servants of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Nityananda, to give people a chance. And then what they do with the chance that we give them, to some extent, depends on them. But, you know, we want to give them a chance. And many book distributors, I think any preacher, but say book distributors, have reported that when they have, you know, a limited number of people they can approach, and a far greater number of potential customers, they distinguish who they think would be a good potential customer and who would not be. But time and time again, they're surprised. Someone who they, by the looks of it, they would not expect to take a book, they do take a book. So that's Nityananda Prabhu. And these book distributors also report that when they're in that mood of just approaching anyone and everyone without making distinctions, that things go better. The first time I visited Mayapur after a number of our God brothers left, for some years I was not able to visit Mayapur. And in the meantime, you know, Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and Sridhar Swami Maharaj and Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, they all had left this world. And so when I finally made it back to Mayapur, I was very eager to visit their samadhis and get their mercy. And so when I went to, offer obeisances to Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj's samadhi mandir, I felt I got a message from him. Don't judge others. You do not know what is in another person's heart. So, yeah, we just have to depend on Lord Nityananda's mercy. And but that mercy is supported by the mercy of of the Vaishnavas. And we can feel the mercy so tangibly. Like initially when I was chanting japa in the temple room this morning, there weren't so many devotees present. And then gradually as devotees came in the temple room, like the presence of each devotee like elevated the consciousness. And so there's so much strength that we get from the association of devotees. And therefore each devotee is so so precious and valuable. And at this stage, because we're fortunate to have with us, well, so many wonderful God brothers and God sisters, means disciples of Srila Prabhupada. But I would like to call on our God brother, Dhananjaya Prabhu, to say a few words, because he had an interaction with Srila Prabhupada about just how valuable devotees are. So, do we have a traveling microphone?
First of all, I'd like to thank all the Vaishnavas residing in Yudwarka. It's always a great honor and a great pleasure to come and visit here. And you can hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe make it a little louder.
Do I have to put it right up against my lips? Does that make a difference? Yeah, I mean, Giriraj Maharaj mentioned about how Prabhupada really treasured devotees. I had the good fortune to meet Srila Prabhupada in England for the first time on the 11th of September 1969. That's when he flew from Hamburg to London Heathrow Airport. And at that time we were staying at the home of John Lennon and Yoko Ono. You might have heard of them. If you haven't heard of them, I'm showing my age. But some or another, they agreed to accommodate us while Shamsundar Prabhu was getting the London temple in ship-shape condition. So, because I'm kind of like, I can be forward, if you know what that means, I can say things perhaps sometimes without thinking it through. But when I heard Prabhupada's voice for the first time, this was before he came to England, on LP, the Happening album, where Prabhupada sings and also speaks, as soon as I heard his voice, I knew that I had some connection with him from a previous life. And I asked the devotees about initiation, because that was like first and foremost in my mind. That's the first thing I wanted to do, was take formal initiation from Prabhupada. And so I asked the devotees, well, when Prabhupada comes to a new temple or a place where devotees are residing, what does he do? And so I was asking this very nice English devotee called Kulashekar this question. I thought he would know, because he was the one who shaved me up and convinced me to stay. So he said that when Prabhupada comes, there's a kirtan, then he'll speak, then he'll ask questions, any questions. So that's what he did. When we got to Tittenhurst Park, that place where we were staying with John Lennon and Yoko Ono, Prabhupada first of all paid his obeisances to the altar. It was a very simple altar with three sets of little Jagannath that were originating from San Francisco. Malati was the one who first brought Aditi of Lord Jagannath in front of Srila Prabhupada in 1967. And she was wearing this little wooden Jagannath deity around her neck. So when she came in to see Prabhupada, Prabhupada immediately noticed Jagannath and he paid his obeisances. And Malati was quite shocked because it seemed like he was paying obeisances to her. But he corrected her and said, "No, I'm paying my obeisances to Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, who you're wearing around your neck." And then he asked, "Are there more of those little dolls where you got this one?" She said, "Yeah, I saw two other ones." And that's how for each of the American couples who came to England were in possession of a set of Jagannath Subhadra Baladev deities each, for each family. Because of course Rathayatra was first practiced in public in San Francisco. So Prabhupada came into the temple room, paid his obeisances to the three sets of Jagannath deities. He climbed up onto this dais, because we didn't know what a Vyasasan looked like. So what we would do was we'd copy whatever Prabhupada was doing in America. And so the idea was that we should make a dais. And just like Giriraj Maharaj has got a little reading light, we had a book stand and a little reading light for Srila Prabhupada to read from and quote from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he instructed Jamuna to sit down in the middle of the temple with a harmonium and lead the kirtan, and Prabhupada played the kartals. And then he motioned like this, that we should dance in a clockwise circle around Jamuna, which we did for about half an hour. Then Prabhupada stopped the kirtan and he spoke very gravely. I can just remember Prabhupada's mood. It was very grave. But I didn't hear a single word, because in my mind I had decided I wanted to ask a very important question of Srila Prabhupada when he came to asking for questions. So I was just focused on waiting until Prabhupada finished his talk. And every word just went like this. It didn't enter into my ears, it just went straight over like that. And so at the end he said, "All right, any questions?" And I put my hand up. And I was the only one in the room that put his hand up. So he said, "Yes." And I said in a very bold Scottish accent, "When can I take initiation?" And he looked at me and he said, "That we will see." Because obviously, the spiritual master has to check out the disciple, just like the disciple has to check out the spiritual master. So it's a two-way relationship. And that was the first time Prabhupada heard me speak. And he'd never seen me before. But he got to know me really quickly, because the next day, because Trivikram, who I was sharing a room with from Buffalo, New York, was Prabhupada's official masseur and chauffeur. But he came down with heavy-duty toothache. And because I was sharing the room with him and he was lying there, and he said to me, "Back to Dave, you're going to have to go in and massage Prabhupada today." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I've got this terrible toothache." I said, "I've never massaged anyone in my life before. And you're asking me to do this service?" He said, "Well, someone's got to do it. So you do it." And he gave me a few hints what to do. So I went in there, and of course, it was quite, I suppose, tense and intense for me. I was thinking, what if he asked me a real bad question, like, you know, "Can you quote Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 34, and do you understand the meaning of it?" But when he came in and he was undressing to take his massage, he asked me, he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "That's a good easy question." "I'm from Scotland, Srila Prabhupada." "How far is Edinburgh from London?" I said, "400 miles, Srila Prabhupada." "How long does it take to go by train?" I said, "8 hours, Srila Prabhupada." And he was undressing, and you know, he was sitting upright. He wasn't lying down, he was sitting upright on this little straw mat in the middle of the room. And, you know, British weather is quite cold pretty much all the time. Of course, it's cold now, but this is winter after all. And the sun is shining. But in England, even in the summer, the sun doesn't shine. You get about 360 days worth of rain out of 365 days in the year. So anyway, and Prabhupada is asking me, where did you go to school? I said, in Scotland, Srila Prabhupada. So you learned British history? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. When was the Battle of Waterloo? You might have heard of that. That's a very famous battle. And I really rushed to think. I thought, my goodness, I shouldn't have said yes to so many questions. Now he's testing me. 1815, Srila Prabhupada. When was the Battle of Trafalgar? Because you might know that in the center of London is a place called Trafalgar Square. And on top of this monument is a statue of, anybody know who? Admiral Horatio Lord Nelson. Yes. So he won the Battle of Trafalgar. And that was 1805. He said, oh, he said, yes. He said, I also learned those things when I was a student. And I think the reason that Prabhupada kind of took interest in me is that when he was a student, all his teachers were Scottish, because he went to Scottish Church College in Calcutta. And he was an Indian student. But in this situation, he was the Indian teacher and I was a Scottish student. I mean, I might be wrong, but that's my sort of gut feeling. Anyway, on the 16th of September, this is 5 days later after I asked that question, that all-important question, on the 11th, when can I take initiation? Prabhupada decided that he would give initiation, and there were four of us. There was an English businessman called Jimmy Doody. That's his real name. I know it sounds, I think, kind of funny in America for someone to be called Doody. Is that right? I don't know the reason, but anyway, that was his name. Then there was me. Then there was a devotee from Santa Barbara who got the name Radharaman. And that there was an English girl called Preeta, and she got the name Preeta. And anyway, so we got our initiation, Prabhupada did the fire sacrifice and chanted on our beads. He did everything because none of us were familiar with the procedure. Then that's the time when I got the name, Dhananjaya. And he said, Dhananjaya means winner of wealth. And he said that in this age, money is flying in all directions. And he became, you know, he was moving his arms around. In all directions, money is traveling. He said, we simply have to learn the art of catching it. That's what he said. So when I was given that name, winner of wealth, and probably explained it in quite a lot of detail, the next morning, this after the 15th, and this is the 16th of September, we were on this morning walk, and I had read a couple of chapters from Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. In those days, it was the Indian publication, printed in Delhi. We didn't have any other Bhagavatam. It was just, you know, the first three volumes of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I noticed one part of it, and I became quite intrigued. So again, I was being quite forward and bold. I said, Prabhupada, is it true, because I've read it in the Bhagavatam, that there is a mountain peak in the Himalayas made of solid gold? He said, yes, there is such a peak. Then I said, do you know where it is? And he said, why do you want to know? I said, well, I'd like to, because, you know, I could understand that we weren't doing very well financially at that time. And I thought, well, if you let me know where it is, I'll get a little rucksack and a little hammer and chisel. And, you know, they have those for mountaineers. They have these special hammers and things. And I said, and I'll go up to the top of that mountain and, you know, hack away at the gold, fill up my rucksack and come down, and then we can use that in Krishna's service. And I said, so would you let me know where that mountain peak is? He said, no. I said, why? He said, that will become too controversial. And I thought, oh yeah, that's true. There's a big country called China, the other side of the Himalayas, and there's India, and if a Scotsman finds out something about gold, there'd be a tremendous battle between the two countries, possibly. And he said, actually, he said, more valuable than gold is devotees. He said, you should make devotees. That's my story. I got to it finally.
So, yes. And as Dhananjay, winner of wealth, you have taken that instruction to heart and have always tried to make devotees. And along with making devotees is keeping devotees. I mean, it's good to get some wealth, but you don't want to like lose it after you get it. You want to. So, and that that brings us to another point, which is how to stay in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said that about his books, that distributing my books will keep them happy. It means it will keep the devotees happy if they go out and distribute my books. He said, yes, distributing my books will keep the devotees happy, and reading my books will keep them. So this is a very important point. We've been discussing Nityananda Prabhu's liberal nature in extending mercy. But he was also fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and fully absorbed, always chanting and hearing about Krishna. And so we need to do that. We need to do both. Like there's the announcements that they make on airplanes. Has everyone here flown in an airplane? Yeah. Have you flown in an airplane? Okay. So usually they make an announcement that, you know, if there's an emergency, an oxygen mask will drop down, and you should fix your own oxygen mask first and then help others. And that's a very practical point, because if you have some dependent that you want to help, but if you don't get enough oxygen yourself, then you could like pass out or die, and then you'll be gone and you won't be able to help anyone else. They always say you should, you know, fix your own mask first. So we also need that spiritual oxygen, spiritual nourishment, which comes from, well, especially there's five items of devotional service that are considered most potent, as stated by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. One is sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, especially more advanced devotees. Sadhu sangha svatovare. So sadhu sangha nama kirtana, chanting the holy names. Bhagavat Shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Mathura Vasa, residing in a holy place like Mathura or Navadvipa or Jagannath Puri, or any temple where the deity of Vishnu is worshipped. And Murti Sharanvita Sevata, to worship the deity with faith and veneration. And that also includes seeing the worship of the deity. That also counts in the same category. So we're so fortunate by Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we have the opportunity to engage in all of these very five powerful items of devotional service. And so we have to stay nourished ourselves by engaging in these activities, and then we can help others, help ourselves and help others. And of course, japa, especially for initiated disciples, and we do want to work towards initiation in any case. Srila Prabhupada said, of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the instruction to chant minimum 16 rounds daily is most essential. And he said that we may, because the basic principles in Vaidhisadhana Bhakti is always remember Krishna and never forget him. And Srila Prabhupada explains that we may have many activities in Krishna consciousness which are meant for us to remember Krishna while we do them. But to really always remember Krishna, we have to chant a minimum 16 rounds. And so, yes, these are very, very important principles. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And chanting with devotees, very powerful. Of course, in a beautiful temple like this with so many nice devotees, you can chant in the temple room and in association. I have a small ashram in the Santa Barbara area. We don't have so many devotees. But sometimes God brothers do come and visit and stay. So I remember once His Holiness Ratutvaja Swami was staying with me. And you know, when I would be chanting japa, you know, it was okay, sort of. But then when Maharaj would come in and chant, I felt like I got a great boost. And then sometimes, like one time when Ratutvaja Swami was there, Jayadvaita Swami came. And then, so we would be chanting, and then he would come in the room, and then we got a further boost. Another time Giridhari Swami, and we get another boost. And one morning, it was like, well, I mean, it just so happened that His Holiness Radhanath Swami and His Grace Burijan Prabhu were staying with me. And so one morning we were like chanting japa together. We had these like cushions on the floor with bolsters against the wall, and like somehow I was like in the middle between these two powerful japa chanters, and it was like, wow, that was like a real special occasion. So we have our practices, and it's But those practices are enhanced when performed in the association of sincere devotees. And so this is a great gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, the association of devotees, especially communities like this where many devotees live near the temple or can come to the temple. And even if it's not easy to come every day, then it, as often as possible, you know, once a week or as often as possible. And that's like very nourishing. And one devotee told me, he was from a village in Bihar, and he told me that the farmers who had only one cow, the cow would usually be quite lean and thin, even if the farmer provided plenty of grass and whatever. But when there was another cow or two or three cows, the cows would eat more because of the association. So we're also like that, you know, and when we have other devotees around us, we eat better, we nourish ourselves more by, you know, chanting and hearing and engaging in the activities of devotional service. So yeah, these are really very special gifts, and yeah, we should recognize them and appreciate them and take full advantage of them, and then share our good fortune with others. So I think we can end now. Yes, there's a question there, or a comment.
Thank you, Maharaj. I do have being the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, something to share very short that isn't related to Lord Nityananda. You were mentioning, even in the reading, it said that Lord Nityananda is mad, intoxicated, he doesn't distinguish. And also you mentioned that, you know, Sankirtan devotees have this experience or any preacher about these facts. So it just came to my mind that I just wanted to share this. About 25 years ago, I was distributing books in an area which are mostly 99% Spanish-speaking people. Suddenly I saw an old American lady, Caucasian, and she was around in her late 80s or 90s. But I felt so sorry, maybe it was a material compassion, that she was dejected, like wandering, and she was digging in the, you know, the trash cans, and I felt so bad and so sorry, and I thought, how can I approach this lady? There's no question she will read a book in that condition. So finally I thought, maybe I should just say Hare Krishna to her. So I get close to her, and I say, excuse me, ma'am. She looked at me, and I said, can you say Hare Krishna? She looked at me, oh, you are Hare Krishna? And then I said, oh, how do you know? She says, I know two brothers. And I said, you do? Please tell me, who are they? She said, well, one is Chaitanya, and the other one is Nityananda. And I thought, there might be some Gurukuli boys or some devotees. So I said, who are they? Where are they? She said, right here in my bag. And I said, what do you mean? Then she started digging her bag. She pulled out the pieces. Look! And she showed me the cover of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Chaitanya, and this is Nityananda. And she raised her hands like that. And yeah. I go, Haribo!
Haribo!
You know, it was a very touchy story, because for me that was, you know, I was thinking how bad this poor lady, being, you know, all Mexican people here. This is her country. She was born here. She worked hard. And she ended up picking up trash. Whatever situation she was, she met two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and immediately I thought about Prabhupada, about the devotees, and like that, and I thought, wow, this is so nice and so good that this lady is so fortunate. And just to close up this one, Maharaj, I know that many devotees here will have hundreds of stories in relation to that. I just want to take advantage of another story, if you allow me to. Short. This one was at the airport, and I, you know, usually you try to approach the more suitable person that you think is going to be a receive a book. But this particular time, there was a big, huge man, like a wrestler or like a boxer, and with a lot of tattoos, and his face was not the most friendly, according to my view. So I thought, if I talk to him, he might, you know, like push me around or like say something nasty. So I was doubting, and he saw me, he was watching me. So then I thought, maybe I should go, and I guess Paramatma inspired me. So I went, I said, excuse me, sir. He says, yes. He says, can I show you something? I said, please. And then I started showing the books. And after some time, he said, you know what? Thank you very much for approaching me. Many people judge me by the way I look. But you know what? Inside, I am a very nice person. Thank you.
Hi.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Lord Nityananda ki. Sankirtan Jagya ki. Gaura Brahmanande.
Very nice stories. All right, so I guess we'll take a break now. And take a break means not take a break from Krishna consciousness. take a break from the class. And continue our chanting and hearing and serving and until we meet again, at least in the afternoon. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Nityananda Balaram ki jai.